Tonight, I'll talk to you about the need for strong leadership now, today. I appreciate the topic. I've enjoyed thinking about it, looking at it. And so let's start in the book of Psalms 78, a long psalm, 72 verses, but we're going to look at the last three verses. And I want you to think about how God measures leadership by character, courage, service, and example. And I'll explain. But notice here, Psalm 78, verses 70 through 72. God chose David, also his servant, and took him from the sheepfolds, from following the ewes. Great with young, he brought him to feed Jacob, his people, and Israel, his inheritance. Now watch verse 72. So he fed them according to the integrity of his heart and guided them by the skillfulness of his hands. Two things here. The integrity of his heart is who the leader is, integrable. The skillfulness of his hands is what the leader does. He's skillful. He has ability, proven ability. I want you to think about the fact that leadership starts with character, not position. Think about today the misnomer that the offspring of a present leader, his first child, is entitled to leadership. The Bible principally doesn't teach that, in the New Testament especially. And I'm talking about the New Testament. The character of a man is what establishes what makes for strong leadership. So we want to be thinking about that. The character of a man. In Exodus 18, verse 21, when Moses was putting together some order in judging the people of God, the Israelites, and his father-in-law Jethro more or less gets on to him, Moses, for taking on too much authority. Now, Moses was a strong man. He was a strong leader. But in this passage, Exodus 18:21, the Bible says, "Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth." And I love this last part, hating covetousness. There's something about that attitude that makes sense in regard to strong leadership. He hates covetousness. He's not an idolater. He's content. And so when you break down at Exodus 18:21 and you look at the characters that were being chosen or told to be chosen, this kind of character, you have able or competent, fear God, they're reverent, they have humility, men of truth, that means honesty, they hate covetousness, which means basically they're not driven by any selfish desires. What happens when you put a leader in the role of a leadership, and he's really just selfishly motivated? It's about his own ego. That's not a good thing. Servants, strong leaders, should be sacrificial, and that's what Christ perfectly represents. What did Christ give up? Everything. So I could go through the Proverbs and highlight passages like Proverbs 11, verse 3, the integrity of the upright shall guide them. The integrity of the upright provides guidance. Proverbs 16:12, the throne is established by righteousness. If we could get morally minded, strong leaders that were just or righteous, the Bible says that throne can be established by God. There's a principle there that talks about the blessings that can be ours, so it's possible. Nehemiah serves as a tremendous character. Having power, he didn't use it to be a tyrant or squeeze people. Nehemiah 5, the Bible says, verses 14 through 15, I and my brethren have not eaten the bread of the governor, but the former governors were chargeable unto the people. Yea, even their servants bear rule over the people, but so did not I, because of the fear of God. It's similar to what Paul says when he talks to the Corinthians on occasion and others. And he says, I didn't take money from you. I, in fact, robbed from other churches, and I worked with my own hands as a tent maker because I would not be accused by you as taking advantage of you. So he was a man of integrity. He knew when to say no. Now, I'll tell you, one of the hardest things Gene and I ever did in our life, and I'm not trying to prop myself up, was, but we served a congregation of the Lord's people who I believe looked at things the wrong way, that the preacher was to be a pastor, and they threw all kinds of money at me. And one of the hardest things I ever did was turn it down. About put us in a bind a couple times, but I'm not going to take your bonus anymore because I don't think you think right. And so in one sense, we kind of preached ourselves out of a job there because we thought it was the moral thing to do. It wasn't easy. I'm not saying that to prop me up, but I remember feeling, man, this is a compromise. If I take all this money when half the people in this congregation don't even make, you know, X amount, and then you're expecting me to be like a pastor or an actual pope, or I'm the one. No, that's not the way this works. And so again, character matters, and I'm just trying to say that to you. Those are not easy decisions that we have to make sometimes. So courage and clarity. A strong leader is able to establish clarity and courage. If you are dealing with confusion here, please talk to us. I hope we're being clear. But the last thing I want to be is uncourageous at the same time. I hope we're ready to stand up. Strong leadership is not loud, but it's very steady. It's very clear. Joshua was told in Joshua 1, 6 through 7, to be strong and of a good courage, only be thou strong and very courageous. You know, what does that look like? Well, once again, Nehemiah comes to mind when you think about Nehemiah setting direction and moving the people forward. In Nehemiah 2, verses 17 through 18, the Bible here says, "Come and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem. And I told them of the hand of my God, and they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work." I told a person yesterday and today, I said, I am not a loser. I was talking to some secular people at work. I said, I am not a loser, I'm a winner. And then I said, let me make sure I'm clear on what I'm saying to you. It doesn't mean I may win every battle in this life, but I will not lose my soul because I know the God that I serve, and He is not a loser, and He's who I serve. And I wanted them to understand something. We are to be men of integrity and courage, but I don't believe in platitudes, lies, falsehoods. I believe in the truth, and I believe we can find solutions, and we need to move this forward. But I'm not going to sit here where we are now. Well, I would say the same thing in the church. I've heard men like Chad Shirtle and others say, we need to be courageous here. Remember back in COVID? Everybody was scared to death. They were scared they were going to die before my grandmother died. She used to say this all the time. We're all scared of a little bug, a little germ. And I remember thinking, you're right, grandmother. We're to be courageous people. Yes, some people are going to die, but if you're in Christ, are you going to die for and lose your soul and be in outer darkness separated from God? Or is death the victory for the Christian? You see, I'm not a loser. I'm a winner. I look forward to death in many ways because in death, the Christian finds peace. In this life, we must be courageous, though. And then one other point. Leaders, strong leaders, this is a fruit, by the way. Mike always talks about fruit don't lie. Well, what do leaders or strong leaders do? Well, they build people up. They don't just build projects. They build people up. Notice the people around us. Ask yourself if you're being built up or you're being kicked down. Now, again, there might be a time to be rebuked and we need to kind of tear down and build back up. That's true. Sometimes we do have to do a little demo work. But at the end of the day, our job here is to build you up. So it matters how we talk to each other and what we say and what we do here. We're not just gimmickry entertaining you here. I pray that we're giving you substance. Jesus said, or is recorded in Mark 10:45, saying, for even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to do what? To minister, to serve, to build us up. And Jesus did that. You remember in John 13, 14 through 15, Jesus said, if I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet, for I have given you an example. The example is to go out and serve and to build people up, not projects and buildings and fancy Taj Mahals and all that. I'm not worried about that, honestly. You don't have to worry about Brian Braswell worried about taking the church treasury and wanting to build a swing set out here. I'm more interested in filling your heart up with the Bible so that you can be built up. And then finally, strong leaders, again, lead by example, and we must accept accountability. Timothy was told to be an example of the believers in word and conversation, manner of life, and charity, and spirit, and faith, and impurity. 1 Timothy 4:12. The Apostle Peter said to the elderships of the church, he said, feed the flock, taking the oversight, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. There shouldn't be any question about the qualifications of an elder. You ever thought about that? The man ought to be clearly qualified. It shouldn't be confusing. It should be clear. That man meets the qualifications. It's noticeable. And so then we could go on and talk about that, but I'll say these last things. Today we need strong leaders. I'm not chasing a title. In fact, nobody could have explained to me what it's like to be an elder until you put yourself in that position. And I just say that because I'm privileged to be able to serve, but it's work. And there's a lot of nights you sit around and you think about the things you just can't get to. I can't save everybody. I can't save anybody. The Lord can. In fact, we sent Mike a message today because I knew he was telling us his activities. And I just said, I appreciate your work, Mike. And leaders just have to be strong. Be united. Work together. Character, courage, service, and being an example. They matter. And that principle, those principles matter in every day life. As a father in a home, can you take one of these characteristics and just set it aside and say it doesn't matter? Or do you need to be a strong leader in your home? Your children need to see this. They need to see a man of action, a mama that loves them and provides security. They need to see loyalty and unity and, again, strength. That's not weakness. That's strength. In our societies, in our work environments, if you suffer at work and you have bad work environments, it's probably because you have bad leadership. But what can you do? Well, show yourself strong and courageous and yet humble and a servant. It'll go a long way. It'll help you. God will bless you. Think of the characters like Joseph in the Bible. What did he do when he was in the pits of life? Did he whine and cry about a circumstance, or did he show great strength in God, and God exalted him in due time? The same thing can happen to us, principally. And so, as it is in the church here, and in the world, and in the government, we need strong leadership. We need it now. There's never a time when we can say we don't need it. And so I hope that this has encouraged you. There's so much we could say about it, but I'll stop there. If you're here and you haven't obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, that's the first step in becoming strong and courageous to put you in a position to be able to be that strong person that the world needs, that God's looking for. And you can do it, but the first step is one of the strongest things you have to do. You ever thought about that? You have to have the open heart to just listen to the truth, to acknowledge it, understand it, and then you have to make a decision that I'm going to change my life. I'm going to repent. That decision, if you make that, is the strongest, one of the strongest things you'll ever do, is to say, I can change. I can quit this sin. I can quit this bad habit. I'm going to put God first. That takes courage and strength to do. And then to stand before people and let people hear you say, I believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, That takes courage to do. So people used to get their heads cut off for saying that in the public. Well, be thankful you don't have to worry about that here right now. But then to submit to baptism for the remission of your sins, to obey the gospel and let the Lord wash your sins away and save you, it takes courage. It takes strength, but it's the right step and it's the right thing to do. So I've talked long enough, but that's the invitation of the Lord. And if you need to respond to it, why don't you let us know as together we stand and as we sing.